Cape Talk. The European Report with Katie MacDonald.
The European Report with Katie MacDonald, all the way from Budapest, Hungary. Katie, good morning. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing very well, Abson. How are you this morning?
Absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much. So, yeah, let's talk about the European Council and the tweets coming from the resignation of David Davis.
Absolutely. So, you know, it's like this, the whole Brexit deal, you know, it's like an acrimonious divorce settlement. And, that kind of struggles to be negotiated. And you've still got those on either side hoping that maybe the divorce won't go through. And then you've got those saying, well, you know, it's a done fact, it's a given. And this latest fallout, you know, is the resignation of Brexit Secretary David Davis. And then that was followed by that of the Foreign Minister Boris Johnson, a very colourful family, colourful character in British politics. But they're both stalwarts of what one might refer to as the hard Brexit crowd, the guys wanting the equivalent of a clean break settlement, you know, just get out of the whole deal. Not what one would refer to as a soft Brexit crowd. And the latest plans put forward by Prime Minister Theresa May kind of cater more to the soft crowd, because she is more keen on keeping strong economic ties with the European Union, even after they leave. Anyway, so we have these resignations, and Donald Tusk, the European Council president, reacted to it and tweeted, raising kind of the hopes of some that Brexit might be called off altogether. But, you know, it's when I say hopes, I mean, really, I think a pie-in-the-sky type hopes. But he tweeted that he can only regret that the idea of Brexit hasn't left with Davis and Johnson, but who knows? And he himself has been highly critical of Brexit because he feels that it's a mess. And he spoke to reporters saying that the mess caused by Brexit is the biggest problem in the history of the EU-UK relations. And it's still very far from being solved with or without Mr. Davis. So, yeah, you've got this ongoing attempt to negotiate, and you've got those who are still hoping it might not happening. I mean, might not happen, just grabbing any straws. And I think Tusk's kind of immediate reaction gave hope to a few of those. So, you know, look, keep watching. It keeps playing.
We wait and see. We wait and see. But okay, let's talk about...
Yes.
You know, you are in the army, or you want to go into the army, but the army says, no, you've got a tattoo.
Yeah, now this is an interesting one, Abs, because I know there have been controversies in other armed services, and kind of vaguely remember, also with regards to joining certain police forces, if one has tattoos or body art. And according to Spanish regulations, visible tattoos are expressly forbidden whilst wearing any uniform of their armed forces. So, this woman, she took part in a civil service exam. She wants to become a military psychologist. So she actually left her job in a hospital to do so, took part in the exam. She's got a tattoo on her foot. And an examiner saw it when she was doing one of the swimming tests and basically said to her she couldn't continue because you'd be able to see the tattoo when it was worn with a skirt. When she was wearing a skirt. Anyway, she thought that those rules didn't apply anymore. And apparently another woman was also expelled from the selection process because she had a tattoo, yet two men were not. So it's one of these complex, you know, she versus he, why the women, not the men. And then what happened yesterday, the Spanish military actually announced the inclusion. They modified a paragraph in their rules that said the tattoos, earrings, spikes and inserts, so on, will not be visible whilst wearing the uniform. But they have changed it so that women can wear trousers rather than skirts. I mean, it's kind of a back-forth back and forth thing. And yeah, just tattoos, which are so, so common these days. I mean, the police here, for example, in Hungary, a lot of them are heavily tattooed and it's heavily visible. So I'm not too sure what the rules are still in South Africa or whether it's an issue or not. But it's created a bit of a stir, and this woman is just waiting to see if they will now let her in.
Yeah. You know, that's another debate now you've just opened up, Katie.
Mm.
Because I've got a tattoo. Yeah, but it's in my underarm. So I've got one, but I really don't think your tattoo should be visible when we're doing business. I don't care whatever business we're doing. If we are doing formal business, your tattoo shouldn't be showing. It's just a personal thing that I have. I don't know. I'm not saying that's the law in South Africa. It's just one of those things I have.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's an interesting debate. And, you know, I do find living here in Europe that, look, I think with younger people, it's just becoming more common. And here, it's, yeah, very visible. And, a lot of people unnoticeably sporting tattoos.
All right. Just before we let you go, Katie, very quickly to you listening at home, that's another debate we're putting on the table for you then. I mean, when it comes to tattoos here in South Africa, how do you feel about tattoos? Are you happy to do business with someone showing open tattoos? Is a tattoo an issue to you at all? 021-446-0567. Very quickly, Katie, I mean, let's talk about Swiss football. What's the latest there?
Yeah, look, I mean, this is just one of the little political kind of sort of fallouts from the World Cup. It's been quite interesting on not a football political sphere, but an actual political sphere. So the three footballers, the Swiss footballers, who come from a Kosovo-Albanian background, you know, they celebrated goals when they scored against Serbia in a World Cup match, with a hand gesture that represents the double eagle of the Albanian flag. They were chastised, but not sort of banned from playing as such, because FIFA doesn't support political gestures. But what's happened is it's just added to an increasing debate amongst the Swiss public with regards to dual nationals. And one of the, the General Secretary of the Swiss Football Federation commented, and he's questioned whether dual nationals should play for the Swiss national team. As you can well imagine, it's created quite a controversy. And in Europe, you've got a lot of dual nationals on the continent, and people such as these players who fled, you know, war and conflict in their own countries. So it's caused controversy. These players are saying, look, you know, we're Swiss. You know, we've come to Switzerland, it's given us so much. How could we not give our all when playing for the Swiss national team? So there are those that have really, you know, reacted with anger at the comments of this guy, you know, that he doesn't trust dual nationals to give their all for Switzerland. But it's, yeah, just one of the sort of ongoing political debates that's been fueled by the World Cup. And interesting, Abs, you know, another question. I mean, can a dual national give his or her all for both, for whichever team they're playing for?
Yeah, we wait and see. We wait and see. Katie, once again, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning. Looking forward to chatting with you again on Thursday. Yeah.
On Thursday or next week?
Yeah. Next week? Oh, so it might only be next week.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, we'll deal with that. We'll deal with that as we go with that. Katie, thank you so much. A very good morning to you and to you listening at home.